Do you like wrestling trivia? Then check out the 5-Star Match Game, the pro wrestling quiz show. I'm Joe Gagne, and every episode, I grill 3 contestants with 5 rounds of power-packed wrestling trivia. We have over 30 evergreen episodes in the archives covering WWE, AEW, Japan, Mexico, and much, 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 much more. Play along at home and check it out today.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Competition starting to get thick, it's the click, so I hope you brought your A game. A main, no rain from the track when we unite and spit. This isn't A game, better bring your A game. Competition starting to get thick, it's the click, so I hope you brought your A game. A main, no rain from the.
Hey, now it's the Mike and JD Show, and I'm your host, Mike Gilbert, and I'm joined as always by JD, by God Oliva. How you doing, JD?
I need to make that outro a little bit smoother. I like the new video, but I thought I faded it out better. I did not. First time going live with that, so I'm infuriated, man. I just told you, I watched everything, and StreamYard's not reading the camera in my phone, and I'm a snob, and I don't like the regular FaceTime camera. I look all washed out. I'm just like, it drives me crazy when technology doesn't work.
Yeah. So I was doing my camo camera for a while and I could just never get it to stay connected, or I was skipping all the time. So I just had to give up on it. I think it's just because I'm on Spectrum internet. I think that's the problem with me.
Maybe. I don't know, man. I'm frustrated. So how are you, Dad?
I'm doing great. The boy is here, baby Elijah. He made it on the earth, on October 1st, which is pretty funny. So a little quick backstory. My wife and I had not really like a bet, but she thought that he was going to last until the 17th. And I was just like, no, this boy wants out. He's coming on exactly on October 1st. Exactly. And I hit the nail right on the freaking head. I don't know why I'm just good at that stuff, but I'm good at like guessing my kids' birth dates, I guess. I don't know, but, nailed his birthday. We were stuck in the hospital for a little bit. I was like part-time in at the hospital and home with the kid, because it was like we had to do a C-section, so that was tough. And there were some complications there, and so we were in the hospital from Tuesday to Saturday, but got out Saturday, and he's been home. He's been great. All is well. Life is great. I'm on paternity leave for 2 months.
Good for you.
So yeah, thank you. Yeah. So this week, you know, my daughter's been off school, so I've just been chilling with her. But like starting on Monday, I'm gonna be like looking for shit to do. So I'll probably be doing a lot of stuff on the Patreon, especially because I'm not in school right now. It's weird. I used up all my tuition assistance in the fiscal year, and my class started literally like a couple days before the fiscal year turned over. So the military wouldn't give me any more money for school. So I can't go back to school until December, and I'm 2 classes away from my MBA.
Oh man, it's someone who I can sympathize with that. Because I hate grad school right now. I've got 2 semesters left. I'm halfway through this semester. I just got to get through this one and the next one. And I'll have my master's in career technology education. I hate it. So I sympathize with you on that. However, I was a stay-at-home dad essentially for Andy's first like 5 years of life, and it was the best. So I tip my cap to you, sir, and slightly envy you.
Yeah, today we went to downtown Honolulu, and I took her to a place called Kid City. It's just like a an indoor playground, and I just let her just go crazy for like an hour, and then went and got some food afterwards, and then came back and watched football. Well, I watched football. She played. Built a fort in the playroom and played My Little Pony in her fort. So
awesome.
Yeah. So, you know, it's been a while since we've been on the air together. We were not on last week. Obviously I couldn't go, because of everything that I had to go through last week. And then you had some other stuff going on, so we weren't able to go last week. So before we get started, if you're watching on YouTube, please give us a thumbs up, give us a like, comment and subscribe. And then please head over to patreon.com/TheMikeAndJDShow. I greatly appreciate it. That would mean a lot to us. If you guys would please do that for us, that would be awesome. Go to patreon.com/TheMikeAndJDShow. Okay, plugs are out of the way. So, JD, you and I have not talked about this, at least in person or on a podcast,
no,
since it happened. let me get your thoughts on the new AEW TV deal. We've been covering this damn story for 2 years, and then when it breaks, we can't go. it was just our luck. The biggest story that we've been covering for a long time, we weren't able to cover it. But what, you know, I did do a little bit of something on here last week, just kind of like a couple minute intro about it. You know, well, did something solo, but we have not heard from you.
I mean, like, what stone did not we unturn in the last 2 years with this discussion? I mean, I'm happy. Like, I wish I was more invested in the product right now. Like, I don't think that it's bad, but like, I've never been less engaged with AEW. Yeah. Like, I really think the company's lacking a firm direction at the moment. And I was hoping that seeing this deal, we could start really moving in a direction. And maybe that takes more time than I think, but I'm just tired of the WWE-ness in the company. I'm over it. I don't know. I mean, I'm happy. I'm hoping it takes some pressure off, but whatever. I don't know what more we can say about the deal.
Yeah, you know what? I thought this past week's Dynamite, I mean, it still had a couple good matches, and that's just because that's just what they do. Mm-hmm. I was so not interested in the show. They had a terrible rating. It was the lowest rated show that they've ever done.
Well, to be fair, they didn't even announce the show, really. Like, I didn't even know the show was on until Muse texted me.
Yeah, yeah. JD texted our group chat and was like, hey, is the show on tonight? And we're like, yeah. And he goes, when did that happen? Because you're not living on Twitter right now. You're not on Twitter, so you don't get those announcements.
And like, I've been very like hit or miss with Twitter. I got this, I don't know, I got a tirade I'll go on a little bit later, I guess. But I'm just kind of over it at the moment. And so I guess that if you're not on Twitter, you don't get that AEW news. So I had no idea. I was at practice and I'm like, oh, I never caught up. I didn't get to watch last week's Dynamite because it wasn't on normal time. So I was just doing other stuff last night. And I was going to watch it tonight, and that just didn't happen. So I was reading results online. I don't know. I think they kind of dropped the ball. I mean, like, I didn't know.
Yeah. No, they clearly dropped the ball because I think all day Tuesday, Tony Khan was like tweeting. He was tweeting nonstop about the show being at Tuesday. Not only was it on Tuesday, it was at 9 p.m. So it was a different start time. So like double whammy. But like the worst thing of all, because they've switched nights before and it's never been this bad. I think the worst thing that they did was they just chose not to promote it. Mm-hmm. They didn't promote it very much. They talked about it last week. I happened to just remember that it was going to be on Tuesday because they're calling it Title Tuesday. So I just remembered the catch line. But even I did not know that it was at 9 o'clock. I was going to pull it up on my TV here because I was off. And I was going to try to do split screen with the NXT just so I can get the picture for social media, just so people think, oh, hey, look, brother's watching Graps. And but it wasn't on at 2 p.m. here on Hawaii Standard Time. I had to wait till 3. And so I was like, oh, well, shit. So I can't do it at 3. So I ended up having to watch it like later in the evening. But yeah, so I think the worst thing that happened was they just chose or just forgot. Or just assumed that their audience would follow them to Tuesday night at 9 p.m. And it just didn't happen. And that kind of shows like, A, you know, poor judgment on their part, but B, like the company's a bit cold right now.
Oh, big time. Big, big, big time. Like, I don't know, man. I'm so like thoroughly disappointed in the infrastructure right now. Like, I just don't understand how they can't get their messaging on point. Like it's really frustrating right now as a fan. Like I feel at a time when I feel like a lot of fans are kind of like me. We've got a pay-per-view coming up this week and it's got about 7,100 tickets sold. I imagine it'll knock on the door of 8. Yeah. We used to get like 12 to these things, right? 10 to 12, like pretty consistently. And like, the wrestling is good. I think the main event stuff is good, but just like everything else just is so slapdash right now. It feels so, the whole company just feels so unfocused. You know, I think it starts with the room and filters down.
I think that is the big word that makes the most sense. You know, someone like Chris Statlander was a heel last week. All of a sudden just appears on television, is now a babyface, and is trying to go after the TBS title from Mercedes Moné. She ditches Stokely. They didn't really do an angle about losing Stokely. And now she's chasing Mercedes Moné, and she's very likely to get a title shot soon.
What?
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense. I mean,
No, it literally just happened like out of thin air.
See, this is what I'm talking about, man. Like, why are we so why are we so scattershot with everything? Like, again, and I was super invested in this company. I'm not on Twitter as much as I used to be. And now I feel like I'm completely lost. And it's like, I feel like it's hard to get in, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's becoming kind of a content form. And I think they're just hoping that you just forget about that stuff. It reminds me of another company.
Reminds me of someplace that used to be like that.
Yeah. But so with the TV deal, yeah, I mean, it's great. It's great news for them, but they still have a lot of problems they got to figure out. Mm-hmm. And I think the grifters are going to latch on to that. And you know, not all of them are wrong. I think if they were to say there's valid criticisms of the creative product right now, I'd say that there is a lot of creative issues with the company right now because they're losing steam despite the fact that they got some more money, and they're losing popularity despite the fact that they got more money. But my hope is that with them going to Matt, I hope they figure out the infrastructure, they get things back on track, and creatively they hit a, like, look, Tony Khan might be a little bit burned out. It's football season, you know, there's probably some stuff going on with that guy, and maybe he's losing his fastball a little bit. I don't know. Like, bookers tend not to last very long, and he's been booking the show for a long, well, and he's got several shows. He's been booking all these shows for a long time. So maybe he needs to call in some reinforcements there. I know he's got a whole committee now, but things seemed not to be getting better, unfortunately. No, so I hope yeah, they figure that part out. And really what I hope is that them being on Max and being co-streamed on Max and being on demand on Max will actually grow the product, and we'll get new eyeballs on this thing, and hopefully it'll re-energize something.
Something, yeah, you know, back on, like, yeah, this isn't like it hasn't been done before. It isn't like you can't fix things once a problem has been identified, right? We saw it in WWE. They were at their creative worst. They got some more money, they can get some changes, and now their fan base seems to be pretty happy. Yeah. Right, so I think it's not impossible for AEW to make some adjustments. The problem is that I don't know where to start. And I don't think the right people are talking. And I don't know if Tony can really say, hey, man, we got to get better. Because it seems like they'll have a couple good weeks, and then we start slipping. Like, I remember last week, I think it was last week, they had some, like, super WWE-esque, the thing with Billy Gunn and the male models. I'm just what are we doing here? Like, I just don't.
Those guys are getting a pay-per-view match, by the way. Those guys are going to be at WrestleDream, wrestling on the card against the Acclaimed.
I don't hate those guys in theory, but I mean, like, I just didn't, the angle is stupid. Like, why are we doing this? Like, why can't we just tell people, no, this is a bad idea. This is not what we do here. Like, that's where my frustration comes with this is, like, if I wanted that stuff, I'd watch WWE, and more I'll turn on this show and I feel like I'm just watching WWE, and, like, I don't know, man. I'm knocking on the door of being like, because it's not like anger, but it's like apathy, right? I feel like my apathy for this promotion grows week to week. I think a big reason that I'm not on Twitter as much anymore is because I'm just disassociated with AEW. I mean, like, and that's what I did on Twitter, is I talked about wrestling. And, like, I just haven't been talking about wrestling as much because it's not a lot of fun right now. You know, and I don't think you're wrong with the grifters aren't going to stop grifting. And the problem with the grifters is they take any legitimate criticism and they defang it. Because they have to make it about stuff that it's not about, right? Yeah. So you don't get legitimate discussion on what's the flaws in the booking. You don't get legitimate discussion of why aren't they selling tickets. You get sky is falling type shit. You get all the bullshit that goes along with it, right? I mean, there's way too much Chris LaGentle and Nick Khan influence in social media, and specifically in the critic sphere, to the point where you can't have a real discussion about what's up with AEW. You just can't.
Yeah, no, you can't. It's almost like political discourse. Kind of. Like, you can't, like, if you can't honestly criticize one or the other without it getting to be into tribalism. And so that's why I try to, with pro wrestling specifically, I try to stay neutral. I'm pretty tough on AEW. I'm probably more tough on WWE. I'm fucking brutal to TNA, to the fact that more and more of their wrestlers block me than ever. So I just found out fucking Rosemary blocks me. I was like, I've always kind of liked Rosemary. What the hell?
You said that bad thing that one time, so now they're all mad at you.
Yeah, the J word got me in trouble there. So her and Cardona and a bunch of other people just started randomly blocking me.
Remember when Chris Hero blocked us because we picked on Rachel Evers?
Yeah. Well, she was crying on TNA.
Sure was.
And it was the worst acting I've ever seen in my life. So she had that coming.
Mm-hmm. He still blocks us. It's kind of bummed me out because I always like Chris Hero. You know, I was like, oh man,
yeah.
I didn't even earn that one. Well, I guess we kind of. I guess we kind of did earn that
yeah,
one.
Yeah, well, yeah. We came after his lady, so
yes, I get that. Yeah. You got to stand tall for your lady. I understand that. I don't know, man. My honest opinion. I think pro wrestling kind of sucks.
You know what? It ebbs and flows. There's like peaks and valleys. The good news is if you get tired of one company, there's like 50 other companies that you can just follow. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, you know what I watched the other day? I watched fucking Gleet. I don't even know what a Gleet is.
I think Gleet. I think it's pronounced Gleet.
It's G-L-E-A-T.
I'm aware of that, sir, but okay. So this
whatever is, okay. the hell they call it. Okay, but it's Shima's promotion, right?
Yes, it is. Okay. It's I think it's run by legitimate business owners specifically, sir.
Okay. They have like the dark suits and some tattoos on the arms.
I didn't say that. Business. I didn't say that. I know nothing about legitimate businessmen wearing dark suits.
Actually, why don't you go ahead and talk about that real quick?
Well, I'm fulfilling. This is Gaijin, my new book on that's not currently available on Amazon. We are currently fulfilling all the Kickstarters. Everyone who got the paperback should have it. People who order the hardcover have not received theirs yet, because ordering it from a different place and it takes longer to get the hardcovers done. So we're currently fulfilling those orders. And then on Christmas time, we will do the official launch for Gaijin. I'm pretty excited. I've actually gotten some really good feedback on this book. I'm very proud of that, actually.
Yeah.
But yeah, a friend of ours who may or may not speak Japanese told me that Gleet is like great. But
oh shit, dude, I had no clue, man.
Gleet. So like infer that what you will. That's what I was told by a friend of ours who speaks Japanese. Okay. Hey,
Brian in the chat, that is defamatory, and I'm not gonna acknowledge your probably true comment.
What did he say? I even missed it. Brian. Oh, pull it up. Oh,
I did.
Oh, I missed it. Gleet funded by, I don't know that. Sorry.
Yeah.
My phone, my camera was blocking. I can neither confirm nor deny that that's accurate, sir.
So, I guess my point is that, yeah, I have kind of like been, I'm still watching Dynamite because it's just kind of my routine. You know, I still like the show. I didn't think this week's show was very good, actually. And that was probably one of the worst go home shows they've ever done. It just seemed weird. The show. Yeah. It was very weird. And so I was like, you know what? Gleet is on YouTube for free. And they had Ricochet on there. They had the Rascals on there. And those are my boys. I like those guys. And they had Parker Boudreaux on there. I was like, I'm just going to check this out. It just, he's just like a guy that's out there grinding, trying to get better. Good for him, man. Hell yeah, dude. Fucking go get yours. So I was like, I'm going to give this a little bit of a shot. They didn't have commentary, so it kind of was like, it's tough. But I was actually able to watch a lot of it, and was like, yeah, some of these wrestlers are pretty bad, but other ones are like really freaking good, and the crowd was hot for some of that stuff. So it was like a fun show. So it's like, if you obviously think WWE sucks, and when AEW is kind of like, in their down period, which kind of seems like it happens every football season.
That's true.
Maybe, Japan is still there, right? New Japan's kind of down right now, but they still got... Noah's still doing their thing, and All Japan's still out there, and then fucking CMLL in Mexico's doing some cool stuff, so just watch some other shit.
I really wish CMLL was posting their stuff to YouTube still, and didn't have the app, because I would be watching way more CMLL. Yeah. I just don't want to pay for another app, I've heard nothing but good things about where Dragon Gate is this year. Like, plug for Open the Voice Gate on our Voices Wrestling Podcast Network, but I mean, I've heard nothing but good things about where Dragon Gate is this year. I'm debating on getting back into Dragon Gate a bit. I don't know if I should or not, but it's a thought that I have had.
Is Dragon Gate where that kid from MLW works, Shin Skywalker?
I hate you so much.
That joke still, lands.
That's an old school joke. Yeah, that's an old school joke that goes back to our fight game days.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so funny. Look, Brian in the chat, apparently RD Evans helped produce the MXM Acclaim segment. Dude, RD Evans and Jimmy Jacobs are all over these Dynamite shows. Fucking hate those guys. Yeah.
God, I hate them. And these are the guys. It's so funny. I had that meltdown on my final Bracer Impact where I I can't do this anymore. And the guys that were booking that garbage have invaded my favorite company and are spreading this bullshit over there. Artie Evans and Jimmy Jacobs fucking suck. I don't care if that gets me in trouble with people. They're not good. Their stuff, yeah. Now their influence is all over this company. It was way better when those guys were doing stuff in TNA, and I hate it.
Yeah. So TNA has gotten better since they left, believe it or not. Yeah, like they're like selling a lot more tickets now. And it's like, you know, obviously the WWE partnership has helped, but
for sure.
I think just like the shows are much easier watches. There's less hokiness. They still got some hokiness. Like PCO is pretty hokey character, but I just kind of dig PCO.
But I mean, like TNA always is going to be hokey. It's part of the charm of TNA, but I'll never get over it. Taylor Wilde doing the tarot cards thing on the ring apron during a match. It just, I snapped. I couldn't watch this anymore. And now that shit's here. It's like, I'm so depressed with wrestling right now. It's sad.
Yeah. But hey, you know what is cool? So, you know, it's been a while since we've been on here. So since we were last live, we got our Hall of Fame votes. Yeah. So we're going to be Hall of Fame voters this year. So I wanted to do a little bit of a preview of this year's Hall of Fame. We're not going to submit our ballots yet on the show. We will do that in a separate episode. We both have to do a little bit of research. Mm-hmm. I think I might be joining Joe and Rich next week, depending on the time, talking about the Hall of Fame as well. So we might be doing a little bit of crossover stuff with them. So, big things coming. We haven't nailed down a time or a day yet, but I'm hoping that that happens. But, you know, you and I are big fans of historical. So let's go ahead and go with the historical performers first. We got Ole Anderson, Afa Nsika, Bob Armstrong, Arnon Tully, the British Bulldogs, June Byers, Wild Bull Curry, who I just watched a match of Wild Bull Curry the other day with him and Johnny Valentine. He's fucking old, man.
He's kind of fucking awesome, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Like, so ahead of his time.
Yeah. JYD, Cowboy Bob Ellis, Pampiro Furpo, Gorman and Goliath, the Mongolian Stomper, Heart Foundation, Sputnik Monroe, Dusty Rhodes and Dick Murdoch as a team, Johnny Rougeau from the Montreal Territory, Iron Sheik, Steamboat and Youngblood, Mad Dog and Butcher Vachon, and then, of course, the Von Erichs. So, man, and you can only get 7 votes in that category. That's actually going to be a pretty freaking tough category because I think a lot of those acts have a claim.
I think that's going to be I think that's going to be like our biggest discussion, because eventually we are going to have an episode where we do our ballots and we break stuff down and we try to sell each other one way or the other. There's a lot of candidates that I think, like, when you say the name, like, well, clearly that's a Hall of Famer, but a lot of that stuff needs to be like examined and really be like, is this guy really worthy? Because I really feel like we've been given a responsibility. Like, I don't want to, you and I have bullshitted about this for years and I didn't think we'd ever get it, and the fact that Dave actually is allowing us to vote, I legit feel like this is a responsibility and I don't want to screw it up.
Yeah. So out of this historical performers, like, who kind of like a couple guys that just, or a couple acts that stand out as being like, man, like those are can't miss.
It's hard, man. I really like the Von Erichs strike me. I wonder if it's a year too late. And I wonder if the movie didn't get enough press. I think the Von Erichs had a massive impact in helping really jumpstart the 80s boom, right? I don't think they get enough credit. I don't think they get enough credit for being international draws. So that's the one that I really stands out to me. Again, it's Texas was like the hub, but that's just where the hub was.
Yeah.
So I don't think I can hold it against them because, you know, it's not their fault that their dad didn't have a more international based territory, but they also kind of did, you know, they did have success, you know, overseas. So I'm going to be really hard pressed to not vote for the Von Erichs. What about you?
Yeah. I it's going to be a hard one. Not voting for them is going to be difficult because they were so huge. The problem was it was such a short period of time.
By flamed out,
I mean they died like quickly, right? Like David died, and then the whole act kind of went downhill a little bit. Now Kerry stayed over for a little while, but you know the Von Erich act, you know, a couple years after David had died, kind of went down. But I do think the movie is going to help, but because people say, well, the movie wasn't as big as we thought it was going to be, but it was big with this voter base. I guarantee damn near every voter watched that movie, and it might make them go back and research what they actually did. and kind of relive what they were doing.
I think that's something we've had this Sting debate a lot of times. It's like, sometimes I think we judge a talent based too much on specifically what they draw, and don't take enough credit for the bullshit they had to overcome to draw.
Yeah.
There was a shit ton of incompetence in World Class, you know, with their father, you know, with the booking, you know, some of Ken Mantell's shit was gross. Fritz did a lot of gross things, including be their father. So, I mean, like, I think they're overachievers in a lot of ways, right? Because they're not classic workers, but they were over, right? Davian says there was nothing like being in Texas in the Sportatorium when Kerry, Kevin, and David came to the ring, and even Mike. Like, those dudes were a different level of over. Like, yes, it was a flash in the pan. How does that rock and roll, better to burn out than fade away?
Yeah.
Right. And I think there is something to that. That's like saying, well, Buddy Holly doesn't belong in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, you know, because he had a short run. You know, it's like,
he had a short run, but he had a lot of hits in that short run.
I think you can make that same argument with the Von Erichs, you know, in a lot of the same ways. Like, there's like, you look at some of those, the most important acts of rock and roll, and some of them don't have longevity, but they had massive impact. So I think you have to take that into consideration. Right. Yeah. I think that has to be like a guy like a Buddy Holly. Like, I think that's my best comparison.
Yeah.
You know, someone who had a tremendous impact in a very short window. So, I mean, that's, I'm really leaning hard on that. My first of that whole thing, the one that really strikes me. There's a lot of them, man. There's a lot of them.
There's a lot. You know, I think JYD has a similar argument to the Von Erichs. It was a short time, but man, he drew so big in just a short amount of time. And then, of course, you know, food and cocaine got the best of him. He ended up, you know, going to WWF, and then things just kind of went downhill from there. Sputnik Monroe obviously had a huge impact on pro wrestling. Social impact, because he, you know, was the first wrestler to kind of integrate, you know, Memphis to where, you know, black and white people could sit together and watch wrestling shows. That was the first time that had ever been done. But the guy that I'm most interested in researching is going to be Ole Anderson. I'm going to reread Dave's obit on him, and I'm going to actually do some more of my own type of stuff, because, you know, he not only, you could put him in there as a wrestler, but also as a booker as well, and a promoter. And he booked many territories, promoted Georgia, and was a wrestler in many territories. So I think he's going to be an interesting guy. I kind of want to do some research on him and see if he deserves my vote.
I wonder if Ole's bad as a booker specifically. I wonder if Ole's bad outweighs his good, because Ole after 1983 really isn't, right? Like, he's a massive player in launching Georgia TBS, right? He really is. You cannot deny the impact that Ole had on that. But you look at when he had his later runs, like when he was booking WCW in 90. You know, that was trash. It's bad. I mean, like, it didn't draw and it was bad. Like, WCW 89 might not have drawn, but it was good. Like, WCW 90 didn't draw and it was bad. And then he booked again in 93 when Bischoff first came on, and that was also bad. So it's like, I think Ole kind of hurts himself by the fact that he, similar to JYD, is like, you know, the Von Erichs faded away. JYD stuck around and was bad. And like, I think Ole's,
JYD was really bad in the late 80s and early 90s.
He kept wrestling until 98 or something like that. Like, JYD was really bad. I mean, and I think the same could be said as Ole as a booker, right? I mean, his biggest claim was like he tried to go national and it didn't quite work. So I don't know, man. I can't wait to have this conversation. I want to do more research.
Yeah. All right. Let's keep the preview going. We'll get to the next. So I followed the modern performers in U.S. and Canada. This one's going to be difficult too, man, because I think a lot of people on this list deserve a shot. But only seven can get in this year. Asuka from WWE, Mark and Jay Briscoe, Young Bucks, Edge/Adam Copeland, Goldberg, Samoa Joe, Matt and Jeff Hardy, Becky Lynch, Moxley, Hall and Nash, Orndorff, Randy Orton, Kevin Owens, CM Punk, Roman Reigns, Cody Rhodes, Trish Stratus, the Steiner Brothers, Jimmy and Jey Uso. And I think this might be his first year on the ballot. Sid Vicious, I think he might be a new addition. The late, great Sid Vicious, Bray Wyatt, and Sami Zayn.
It's crazy. How many we could pick? How many votes we get?
Seven.
Seven.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot. I don't see how you could deny Roman Reigns.
I think the argument that people make is that, well, he works for WWE and WWE could do all these things without him. I'm just like, oh, when he comes back, it's the business a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
He's been their top guy for over a decade. You know,
you can make that argument in 2018 that Roman really didn't matter. I don't see how you make that argument after 2021.
Yeah. I feel the same way about Cody, you know, because of not only what he did for, you know, starting AEW, but you know, take a look at his run through the indies to ROH and then starting AEW. And then now what he's like, him coming to WWE was like, that was that big boom that really started to turn business around, you know, and then things just started falling into place after that.
I agree.
Been a big star for them.
I agree. I think Cody proved his worth on the indies. Like, Cody is the ultimate bet on yourself story. Like, he's the ultimate politician. He truly, truly is. But you can't argue what he was able to do. He shined a giant light on the indies during a time when the indies was at its best, right? Like mid 2010s indies run was not just Cody's, but it was great stuff in general. And I don't think you can ignore the impact he had in Ring of Honor, in New Japan, and then the All In, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we have AEW because of All In. And that's, you know, Cody was, he wasn't the only guy, but he spearheaded it. Like, he became the face of it. I don't think you can deny that. Same with the Bucks, right?
Yeah.
The Bucks became the quintessential indie guys, the quintessential, this is how you make money outside of the WWE system. And I think that, I think historically speaking, I think those are guys that need to get a look. I think that historical impact can have just as much weight as, like, well, he drew X in here and he drew X in there and they did these matches here. Like, they made an impact. They changed. They really did change the face of wrestling. Yeah. I don't like what they're doing now, but the stuff they were doing 10 years ago was like, it was game changing stuff. I don't think you could deny that.
Outside of the Sting match, I think this has been a pretty down year for those guys.
I would agree with you.
Do you think that because they're having a down year, that might hurt the voting, might hurt their chances this year?
No, I think I don't actually, because of the observer, the people who are the voters. Right. Yeah. Are people who like the matches. And I think you're going to look at 15 years worth of Young Bucks matches and they'll be, I don't see how the Bucks don't get in. I really don't.
You know, I think we'll have an interesting discourse on Goldberg because I see him very much like Junkyard Dog, you know, short period of time, but was one of the biggest stars ever in like a couple year period. He was really carrying WCW in like 98 during that time. As far as like ticket sales and pay-per-views, and he was absolutely their top star on into 99. And then of course, like after that, it flamed out. But then when he came back for his WWE run, like a decade ago, business did pick up for them. It was like, he was a hot star, even though he was in his 50s by that point, but he really did. So I think that's an interesting discussion. Edge and Randy Orton, very similar. I think that's going to be an interesting discussion. You know, both of those guys, are you familiar with Craig Biggio?
Yeah.
Yeah. Second baseman for the Astros, 3,000 hits, was never the MVP, was never the best, you know, wasn't the most important guy on his team a lot of times, but he was always really good. And he got into the Hall of Fame because he got 3,000 hits. Right. So, you know, I think those are guys, you know, that are going to get looked at, but I just don't know that they make it because they were never really top guys.
I couldn't vote for Randy Orton. I've never enjoyed a Randy Orton match. I don't like, he's not John Cena. He's always there because he looked the part, right? Yeah. I think Randy Orton, I know, like a pro's pro, you talk to actual wrestlers, they love him. All I can talk about is myself. I watched Randy Orton match and I'm bored to tears. I just don't like the guy. I'd rather vote for Copeland, to be quite honest with you.
I think if Randy Orton left the system one time and could prove his worth outside of the system, maybe he would get votes. But he's just very much a product of that system. Mm-hmm. Never left it. Has always been one of their guys, but he was never their biggest star. He takes off every couple of years and he comes back and gets like these huge pops and, you know, business goes up a little bit. But then it goes like, oh yeah, it's still Randy Orton. He's just going to chin lock you for 5 minutes. And but the guy's still one of the more popular guys on every card that he's ever been over. On. So. Yeah,
he's over.
He still sells a ton of merch, and the guy's over. Can't deny it. But you know, he does have the match quality thing going against him. And then, of course, yeah, for me, I'm interested in getting into the Steiner Brothers discussion because I've been wanting this vote for so long, just so I could vote for them. Because they were my favorite tag team as a kid. And I just watched their match versus Doom from Halloween Havoc 89 this morning. And I'm like, God damn it, they're so awesome.
I think they're tremendously influential in American tag team wrestling. I think that they brought the Japanese style of hard-hitting, very athletic, scary at times wrestling and popularized here in the U.S.
Yeah.
Like, I think that, again, I think Impact means something. I really do. I like the Steiners. Where do you stand on Mox?
I'm not there yet on him.
I can be.
But, you know, he could be, if I get down to where I'm like, I don't have 7 votes, he could be put in.
I think the AEW run really helps his case because I think he legitimizes that company when he shows up at the first pay-per-view. I think that's one of wrestling's biggest moments. I really believe that.
Yeah, it was great.
I could be sold on Moxley.
Yeah, I'm not like anti-Mox. Like, I love the guy. He's great.
Me too. But,
you know, he's not a lock for me, though. He's not a lock. He's not a lock, like, for me, like Roman and Cody are locks. Mox isn't there for me yet.
It's hard to argue those two guys. Moxley, he does his own thing to the point where, I don't know, he's this free-spirited guy like a Terry Funk. I almost feel bad voting for Moxley here because I just feel like his story so isn't done yet.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's another reason. I think he's not a first ballot and he's got way more stuff to do. And I think he's going to continue to do stuff. I think in a couple years he gets in. Too easy.
Yeah.
All right. Now, I didn't do Japan and Mexico and the rest of the world, so
it's unfair for me to vote in those categories.
Yeah, so we're going to do non-wrestlers. Dave Brown, the Memphis Weatherman, Zane Bresloff, Bobby Bruns, he was the guy that kind of, you know, brought US and Japan together in pro wrestling. Bob Caudle, Bobby Davis, spoiler alert, Bobby Davis, Joe Higuchi, Jim Johnston, Larry Madison, James Melby, Rossi Ogawa, Reggie Parks, the belt guy, Morris Siegel, Tony Schiavone, George Scott, Kevin Sullivan, Mike Tenay, Ted Turner, Roy Welch, Stanley Weston, Grand Wizard, and Koichi Yoshizawa.
It's quite a list. How many? 7, right?
7, yeah.
I'm going to advocate. We did for last year for Bobby Davis. Bobby Davis... I'll do it again. Bobby Davis created the template of what we think a manager in professional wrestling is.
Yeah.
Right. He was the manager. Like, everyone, you think of a pro wrestling manager, you're thinking of something created by Bobby Davis. Like, some people might have done it better, but without him, it's not there. It's not what it is. So when push comes to shove, I'm going to advocate again, just like I did last year for Bobby Davis. There's a lot of interesting names on that list, though, too.
Yeah, I'm going to advocate for Bobby Davis. I think he belongs in because influence matters. Mm-hmm. And he was another guy that didn't really have a long run. But what he did was, he was the manager for freaking Buddy Rogers, right?
When Rogers was the top draw in the country.
Yeah. Like, Buddy Rogers was the absolute tippy top guy in the country. And it was right there with him was Bobby Davis. But because his career ended, like, he was just a kid during that time too. He was a young guy and he left professional wrestling at a young age. He ended up, I think he died like 3 or 4 years ago in his 90s or something like that. But
I know that's wild.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but, I think that he absolutely deserves a shot in. Another interesting name is going to be, Ted Turner. I think there's a good discussion surrounding him and about his influence on professional wrestling. Cause if we don't have Ted Turner, we don't have a lot of great moments in professional wrestling.
I'm a yay on Ted Turner. I know some people, I think it was Rich last year who said that, you know, Ted Turner did 100 other things and didn't think about professional wrestling. That might be true, but the things he did do for professional wrestling changed the course of professional wrestling. Pro wrestling is way different place without Ted Turner, right? That's just the way it is. Like, I can't think of what the landscape of this business is without Ted Turner's financial influence, right? He's a big yay for me.
Yeah. I last year he was a nay. But after thinking more about it and after our show that we did last year when we were trying to advocate for us to get a vote, you had kind of sold me on it. And then when you read the criteria, so yeah, he absolutely meets the criteria just because, you know, and I don't agree with Rich in that when he says that Ted Turner never thought about pro wrestling. I think he did think about pro wrestling a lot because he spent a lot of money on pro wrestling over the years, and he kept it afloat when it was not making any money. Mm-hmm. And he loved it to an extent to where, like, to his detriment, he kept WCW alive when at a time he probably shouldn't have. And he decided to keep it going because it was important to him. So I think I'm going to go ahead and I'll be a yay on him.
We'll put it this way. A man's influence can be felt when he's not around anymore. When Ted Turner was no longer around pro wrestling, look what happened.
There you go. We lost WCW. We ended up getting a monopoly, and it took forever until, 2019 until we actually got a challenger brand again. And then all of a sudden we get another challenger brand, and now we got a lot of pro wrestling that's actually pretty good out there. Yeah. Even if you're not a WWE fan, like, their product has gotten better to their audience.
Oh, for sure. Enjoying,
you know what I mean?
Competition rate, like, a rising tide lifts all ships. Like, it's a cliche, but it's 100% true. Like, and again, Ted Turner, we'll have this debate again, but I was big on Ted Turner last year, and I'm gonna stay on that one.
Yeah. When we get to cast our ballots, I'm actually gonna do some more research on Morris Siegel. I think he has an interesting case.
I do too.
He ran the Houston territory for a long time before Paul Bosch took over. Yeah. So I'm pretty interested in that. We'll see, but yeah, guys, thank you, Dave, for giving us our vote, man. We're really happy about that.
Yep.
All right, chat. You guys have been quiet tonight. Let's get to the chat. Everything Pro Wrestling says we live. Yes, sir. VR says lowest rated Dynamite and maybe lowest attended Dynamite ever. Yeah, that's true. They were in Spokane. I think they had like less than 2,000. They're lucky they got the guaranteed money now, because sheesh, they can only be carried by good PPVs and matches for so long.
I can be carried forever. Like, that's people see sometimes that's grifter talk. Like, VR, I appreciate you saying that, but I mean, like, what does that mean? They're funded by a billionaire. He can run that thing until forever, until he's just bored.
It didn't need to make money, but it absolutely is now. Uh-huh. Yeah, it absolutely is. We just hope that it gets better because we're big fans.
Right. You can zhish it all you want, but I mean, like, we just talked about WCW. It's the same thing. Like, we're right now kind of in the doldrums of WCW phase.
Yeah.
Right. They pulled themselves out. I think AEW can too. But I mean, I think Tony needs to come to Jesus meeting and needs to fire R.D. Evans and Jimmy Jacobs and all these other dorks.
Well, and I think maybe Tony is probably booked for too long.
That's just
every booker goes through that, you know. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they just got to hand over the book for a while.
And that's the problem, is Tony is a rich kid who doesn't like to take accountability.
Yeah.
Right. We've talked about that for years. And here's the problem. Who does he hand it off to? None of these other guys have proven to me that they can book.
Yeah, I know. I'm sure Jeff Jarrett's sitting there like, I can do a reverse battle royal, boss. You know, I'm sure he's wanting to take it over.
Jeff didn't even book TNA. He just booked himself. Like, Jeff was the guy hiring Vince Russo. It's the last guy I want making decisions. Like,
Jeff will bring in Dutch Mantel or some shit, you know?
Yeah. Oh, God. Like, I don't know. I don't trust. I mean, like, who's the best mind they have over there right now? I mean, I don't know.
The only successful booker in the company is Tony, so that's probably why he's still booking.
That's the problem. I mean, maybe Will Washington, if given an opportunity, he seems to be all right. Peppermint is actually, I was hard on her earlier, but it seems like her stuff typically is okay. But she's got that WWE brain. I don't want her in charge. Like, I do think they need, I just don't think Tony is secure enough in himself to say, I need to take a step back and hand this off. Because it takes someone very secure in themselves creatively and foundationally to say, I need to step back and hand it off to the right people. Because if he hands it off to Jimmy Jacobs, we're screwed. If he hands it off to R.D. freaking Evans, then we're totally screwed. So,
Hassan says the Elite were booking well at the start of AEW. Really? Were they really? They were booking. Some of their stuff was pretty fun, but they had never booked television shows before. So, and they were just doing jack off shit, getting their friends on TV.
Need I remind everybody of the famous Dark Order thing in December of 2019 that led Tony to go, I'm booking the entire company. No, the Elite shouldn't book shit. Like, they prove they are not creative to do to book a television show.
Yeah. Chris Hero books West Coast Pro.
Chris Hero's in the room.
Yeah, Chris Hero's there. He already works there. But you know, at the end of the day, everything's Tony's decision. So, so we can't. It's like, I know we like to blame Jacobs, we like to blame Evans and all these other guys, but at the end of the day, the guy that's saying yes or no is Tony Khan. Buck stops with him.
Mm-hmm. So that's why That's why the Vince stuff is like, no matter who wrote for WWE, it was still a Vince-based show. That's why I'm saying Tony should do what a lot of like territory, like Lawler and Jerry Jarrett would like hot swap the book, right? Every six months. And they bring in like Dundee would have the book and Lawler would have the book. Well, Jarrett would have
and
the
then, book. And then change it up. Like Bill Watts would bring in Bill Dundee from Memphis to come in and book for a little bit, right? And then like, you know, they would swap them around because just to kind of jumpstart things.
Ernie Ladd, Buck Robley, Eddie Gilbert. Like they were always bringing in different guys to book Mid-South, UWF Mid-South. Like that's just the way it went. Like you need a fresh idea in there. And I just right now, I don't feel like we have enough fresh ideas, right? I think something new should come in and do something different. I don't know.
I advertise this, so we're going to deliver. We're going to preview the AEW Wrestle Dream 2024 card. Oh. Coming up this Saturday from the Tacoma Dome. On Zero Hour, Ring of Honor World Television Championship, Atlantis Jr. versus Brian Cage.
That should be fun.
Yeah, should be fun.
Brian Cage is a good base, and Atlantis Jr. does some cool stuff, so it should be a cool Lucha-style match.
Yeah, yeah. And I think Atlantis Jr. retains. Nobody really cares about the TV championship for ROH, so just let Atlantis have it. Probably the match of the night, the one that everybody's most excited about, MXM Collection versus The Acclaimed. Probably match of the year candidate here is what we're thinking. Probably four, five, something like that.
I'm sorry, I took my headphones off when you announced the match because I don't want to discuss it.
Yeah. My opinion of this match is who gives a shit?
Yeah, who cares?
Yeah. Darby Allin versus Brody King. Now this should fucking rule.
Now we're talking.
Yeah.
Now we're talking. Love this is going to be fun. Every time these two wrestle, it's great. It's bloody. It's violent. It's two of my favorite wrestlers in the company right now. I assume Darby wins. He's been, cause he looked like a chump losing to Moxley. And they got to give him a little bit of steam back. And you know, I like to see Brody King do something else, but you know, get a little bit of a push, but you know, someone's got to lose.
Yeah, I mean, Brody King's like still part of the trio there with Malachi Black and Buddy Matthews. So I don't see him getting a singles push anytime soon. So this is very clearly like, this is just a good guy that Darby has matches with that he's known forever and they're in Tacoma. So let's just go out there and fucking tear the house down. And Darby's probably going to attempt to kill himself. So
It should be fun. Could happen, of course.
Yeah. Best two out of three falls. This should be awesome. Hologram versus the Beast Mortos, Black Taurus. I mean, there's literally. I'm sure they're having a feud, and I'm sure the feud is great. This whole match is just because I like my flippy shit. Let's just have it.
I said Cage is a good base, but I almost call him Black Taurus. Beast Mortos is the best base in pro wrestling, and Hologram, dude. Hologram is I don't know if I call him a star yet, but he's over with the AEW fan base. Like it's working. Like I think him getting a chance to do something cool on a pay-per-view could have a real big impact. This kind of reminds me of those WCW Lucha matches on pay-per-view in the mid 90s, right? That were always awesome and made some stars. So hopefully hopefully Hologram can become that Rey Mysterio-esque guy here.
Yeah. It's like Juventud versus Silver King. I don't know if I need it, but I definitely want to watch it.
So, yeah. I'm entertained. Awesome. I like wrestling, so I'm good.
Yeah. Then we go to Hangman Adam Page versus Jay White. Man, for some reason, I smell a bad finish coming in that match.
It's Jay White. Of course there is. I assume Swerve's going to come back.
I guess Jay White now a babyface. People haven't treated him like a babyface, but he's now a babyface, by the way.
Sure.
Hangman's the heel in the feud.
Sure. Whatever.
Yeah.
I'm Luke very, very lukewarm on this. I've not been a fan of the Jay White AEW run. I've not been a fan of Jay White. I didn't like the Jay White New Japan stuff toward the end either. So I don't know. I'm cold on this. I think Swerve comes back and we get more Swerve and Hangman antics.
What more could they do to each other?
Yeah, one of them's still alive. So you know we have a literal death match.
Yeah, they're gonna have to have a literal death match. Maybe they'll stick him in a cabin in the woods. And they'll give him like a book from the basement and have to read out of this demonic book. And then one person, the person that loses gets possessed by the devil. And the other person is fucking Bruce Campbell.
Another, and Necronomicon Ex Mortis match. That's not dumber than anything Robert R.D. Evans is throwing around in the meetings right now.
Yeah. Sorry, if you kids don't know what I was talking about, that was an Evil Dead reference. Yes. By the way.
Swallow your soul.
Yeah, swallow your soul. A chick gets really messed up by a tree in that movie, by the way.
That does happen.
Yeah.
That does happen. It's a weird, yeah. The first Evil Dead is a weird movie.
Weird. Very weird. I think everybody should go out of the way to watch it. It's Halloween time, folks.
You should.
And it's fresh in my brain because I literally just watched it because I was like, yeah, I haven't seen this movie in over 20 years. Let me check it out.
Andy, we watched Army of Darkness over the summer and he wants to watch it again. He loved Army of Darkness.
Yeah.
It's a great starter horror movie, quite frankly.
Yeah. Dobby the Brain Heenan says, Swerve seems down with Hangman for now. Seems done with Hangman for now since he's got a feud with the ex-WWE Syndicate. That makes sense. Yeah, that's a good point. Rich has a great question. Rich, are you guys Hall of Fame voters? Rich, obviously just now tuning in.
Thanks, boss.
Yeah, yeah. We did a whole segment, plus we are slurping ourselves with our titles here. Clearly we're Hall of Fame voters, and we're proud of it. Ring of Honor World Championship, Mark Briscoe versus Chris Jericho.
That'd be fun, I guess. I don't know. Jericho's antics leave me cold. But, you know, he's over. I can't argue the guy's over. Mark Briscoe is like my favorite babyface in wrestling right now. So,
yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, I like it. I think Mark Briscoe retains because Chris did bring up his brother in the lead up to the match. I was like, okay, he went there. So Mark has to win.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Rich is like, you should make it more clear. It's like... So, yeah, I think we're Vince McMahon, like WWE television clear on what our titles are now.
It's the bit, man. It's the bit.
Yeah. Yeah. We're definitely more clear than Title Tuesday. Apparently.
So we had this bit plan for last week when it was fresh and we didn't get to do it because we didn't do our show. So we had to like stick to the bit for at least a week.
Yeah. we're committed to it at this point.
Yeah.
So I think Briscoe has to retain. I don't think the match is going to be all that bad, although I have been cold on Jericho this year.
Yeah,
but I do got to say something about Chris Jericho. So MVP is now in the company and MVP did knock him out on a boat and MVP signs. And one of the first things he does, and he goes to Chris Jericho, they squash it. And now they want to do business together. Somebody tell that story to the Young Bucks. Okay. Mm-hmm. You guys can fight and then still go make money together. It's pro wrestling. You sissies. It's pro wrestling.
I'm saying that's man shit from MVP. That's man shit. That's what a man does.
Yeah. And to Chris Jericho too. Chris Jericho got knocked out. Right. And he's just like, fuck it. Let's do business. Mm-hmm. It's like fights happen. And he did the same thing when he was in WWE with, who was the guy that knocked him out on the bus? Sin Cara 2 knocked him out. On the bus. Yeah. They got into a fight and then they just squashed it immediately. No big deal. He got in a fight with Brock Lesnar and they squashed it. They did business together after they had a match.
There's a common thread in a lot of these things. Kind of
Chris Jericho.
Jericho's a fucking asshole.
He seems to get in a lot of fights, but people like him, so they squash it and they end up doing business.
He's like that guy you kind of like, but he's really fucking irritating, so you gotta punch him every now and then. So it does. Well,
probably when he gets a little bit of the clear, vodka medicine that he likes to take sometimes. So, but I just wanted to say kudos to MVP and Chris Jericho for doing business and, somebody go tell the Young Bucks that story. Maybe they'll get over themselves a little bit and stop being passive aggressive little shits. They jacked up the company for a whole year. Anyway. I mean, there are other players involved, but, they could have just squashed it. So, anyway, AEW TNT Championship, Jack Perry versus Katsuyori Shibata. I hate this match and I'll tell you why.
Tell me.
Shibata's losing, and I love Shibata.
Oh, fair. You're not wrong. You're not wrong. It'll be a fun match. I actually really enjoy both these two as wrestlers. I think it'll be a fun match. I really like the Jack Perry heel run. I think it's been a low-key fun element of AEW this year. I think he's a great heel. I really do.
He's a great little undercard heel guy.
Like, he's unlikable. Yeah. This version of Jack Perry is completely unlikable.
Yeah, he's a little shit at the bottom of the card. Give him a nonsensical title like the TNT title. Let him have fun.
It's perfect.
That's where I like him. Just keep him out of my main events. Yeah, that's all I ask.
He's been great.
Yeah. But Jack Perry's definitely winning that one. Unfortunately, they got no respect for Shibata. AEW World Tag Team Championships, the Young Bucks versus, for some fucking reason, Private Party.
Okay.
Yeah, they beat Bear Bronson and the other bear guy, and now they have a title shot. So there we go. And also, they did defeat, in their defense, 5 years ago, they did get a win over the Young Bucks. So
remember when we had rankings and like they had to like justify things in this company, and now they say, "Well, you just wrestle the Iron Savages, and the winner gets a title match." It's just whatever. You don't care. I don't care. Whatever.
Yeah, well, there's a reason why they got rid of the rankings, because they, you know, obviously can't buck around them.
People went on Twitter and cried every time they put rankings up. It doesn't make sense, because a bunch of dumbass wrestling fans who never watch a fucking sport in their life would just cry about it. Who never actually like saw a college football ranking or an MMA ranking. So, why is he number five? It doesn't make sense. Not realizing that people get title shots who aren't number one contenders all the time. But you fucking nerds never watch sports.
Yeah, people that don't understand the rankings, like, they're at the urinal and they pee with their pants all the way down to their ankles. They're weird. It's like, I just don't like them.
I saw a guy doing that at a wrestling show once, and I didn't know what to make of it.
AEW International Championship, Will Ospreay versus Ricochet versus Konosuke Takeshita. I mean, clearly this is Oscar bait right here. What I mean by that is, yeah, it's just these guys... Like, hey, Dave Meltzer, what is your checklist? What is your criteria for a 5-star? All right, we're doing that. Let's go, baby. It's actually going to be freaking awesome, clearly.
I wish, I you know me, man. I typically don't like three-ways, but I like all these guys a lot. So,
yeah.
So I'm okay with it. It's going to be pretty awesome.
I mean, who gets the dub, though? I mean,
my gut is Ospreay, but I guess you go to Takeshita and do a Takeshita Ospreay thing for a minute. I don't know. That's kind of, that could work.
Yeah. Because they did the whole schmoz with Ricochet, because they didn't want to pin Ricochet yet. They didn't want to pin Ospreay either, so they did the whole schmoz thing. And Grand Slam with Takeshita, and now they have all three of them, and none of these guys need to be losing right now, so it's just kind of weird. So clearly there's going to be some fuckery in the match.
Somebody's got to lose. You know, like, yeah. I always say these guys can't lose right now, but people got to lose matches. Like, we got to have matches with stakes, and stakes involve people losing.
Can we just be honest about Ricochet? He's not going to be your world champion. Just beat the motherfucker. Let him do his flippy shit and beat his ass.
Right.
He's a good wrestler. Don't get me wrong. I like Ricochet, but he loses. That's what he does.
Mm-hmm. Prince of Puma days are over.
Yeah. You don't need to protect him. Just let him get some, he'll get some wins over fucking Roderick Strong and idiots like that. But he's in there with Takeshita and Ospreay, who is actually going to make you some money. That's who needs to go over in the match. Not Ricochet. Okay. No offense, Ricochet. All right. AEW Women's World Championship, Mariah May versus Willow Nightingale. Mariah May definitely taking this one, I think.
I like Willow. I think she's their best baby face for the women's division, but I don't see Mariah May losing yet. I don't know what the plan is for Mariah May. I mean, I imagine another Toni Storm match in the future, but it's fine. Yeah. I mean, whatever.
And then in the main event, Bryan Danielson versus Jon Moxley. This is really the only, like, this is the only outcome of any of the matches on here that I'm actually interested in. Because Danielson's working this. I'm beaten. I'm old. I'm tired. He, like Ron Wright from Smoky Mountain Wrestling, he needs to take his heart pills before each match, and he's going to be wheeled out there. You know who else used to do that was Tito Ortiz. Tito Ortiz would lose. He's like, I got a fractured skull. I got a broken neck, two broke knees. I barely made it to the match. You know, he would do that. That's kind of like Danielson's gimmick right now, but he is telling everybody he doesn't want to wrestle anymore, but here he is. He's going to put out another banger in the main event. I'm curious to see who wins.
I think it's Mox's time. Like, we're all Moxley fans. I think he's got the most interesting character in pro wrestling now. And I think you have to strike with this immediately before it cools. And I don't think he can afford to lose. And Danielson is kind of banged up. And I think that if Moxley wins, you could always go back to him versus Danielson later. Yeah, I think, again, whenever this company has problems, they put the title on Moxley, and I think it's time to break glass and put that belt back on Jon Moxley.
I completely agree. I think Moxley wins, and then Danielson, who one of his heroes also happens to be Terry Funk, retires for a little bit, and we'll see him in 2025. I think,
of course.
I don't think anybody's buying this retirement. And I really don't buy that he's, like, I'm sure he's banged up a little bit, but I don't think he's banged up to where he can't wrestle anymore. I think he's just kind of playing that off, clearly.
He's a professional liar. He's good at it, so, you know, he can keep lying to me.
Yeah. Real quick, last note before we head out of here. Daniel Garcia resigns with AEW. You know, that was like a big topic of discussion for a while. He came out on Dynamite on Tuesday in front of Spokane, his lovely audience in Spokane, the big Daniel Garcia fan base that's listed in Spokane, came out, made his announcement, and to like mild cheers. So that was cool. You know, it would have been nice if maybe they just held off until they were back on the East Coast or something, but he did not come across as a big star, unfortunately. But he has re-signed here, so good for him. I hope he got paid a lot of money.
Yeah, man, I know WWE really wanted him. I think it's the best move for him to stay in AEW. He's a smaller guy. I think he gets swallowed up in NXT. Like, yeah. Ben Carter's been in NXT forever, and I don't know when they're ever going to move him up. And Ben Carter's awesome. I forget what his name is in WWE. Ben Carter's a phenomenal wrestler.
Nelson Playboy Frazier. They call him Nathan Frazier, but I always think of Nelson Playboy Frazier.
That's a good one. Yeah, there you go. I just don't see him or A-Kid. What's A-Kid? What do they call it? Axiom. I don't see them being moved up anytime soon or being taken seriously.
I mean, they're probably going to win Tag Team of the Year this year, and I think they would deserve it. I've seen some of their matches, and they're great.
They're awesome. Yeah. But, like, you know, they don't – I mean, it's just WWE. So I think Daniel Garcia is in a better place for him, especially he started getting a bit of a push, right?
Yeah.
He was over in Chicago when we were there for All Out. Like, dude was over.
Yeah,
so
yeah, he was. Yeah, well, I'm glad he's sticking around. It would have been interesting to see what they did with him in WWE, but I think it's pretty clear that he knew that Tony Khan was probably going to take care of him in AEW. So sometimes you stay with the devil that you know. Real quick, I think we'd be remiss if we didn't touch on this subject and then call it good. Triple H and the bad. If you guys watched Bad Blood, by the way, go to Patreon. I actually reviewed Bad Blood this week. It's on our Patreon. I did not release it to the public. So if I'm going to watch WWE, you guys got to pay to hear me talk about it. But so I actually did a match by match recap. Hell in a Cell match was really good, by the way. I really enjoyed it. So, but in the post show press conference, Triple H asked about the lack of black male wrestlers. By the way, WWE is like extremely diverse company. There's just one glaring weakness, and it's the black males on pay-per-views. Okay. So it's been a little while since they've had black males on pay-per-view. They're represented by a lot of other genders and races and all that stuff. And I think that's a fair argument. The way he answered the question was completely absurd. When asked about not having a black male wrestler on a pay-per-view in a long time, he said, "Well, I don't see color," which is typically what a white person says when they're stupid. And probably they don't know that they're racist, but they have a little bit of racism in them. That's typically when they say those things.
That's the oblivious white man comment, especially from a white man who likes to wear the Iron Cross everywhere he goes. He's a fucking idiot. Like, what? We act like this is a smart man, but this is a man who, like, I don't think he went to college or anything like that. Like, he's just like a kind of a meathead. Like, nothing wrong. I'm not saying you have to go to college, but I'm like he's in an executive position just because he happened to be in the right place and married the right person. Like, it's not like this is a well-read or well-educated dude, and he comes across like a complete and total meathead every time they put a microphone in front of his face.
Like, what an absolute buffoon, total dumb thing to say. Cody Rhodes had a great response to that question in 2019 that people were sharing around when he said that Brandy told him, because he said the same thing to Brandy, and Brandy Rhodes, his wife, who was black. Yeah, he said, "If you don't see color, then you don't see me." And I was like, and he goes, "You know what? That educated me." And I'm, you know what? Thank you, Cody Rhodes, for saying that at the time that he did, because that also educated me. Because that's a white person's way of saying I'm not racist. When in fact, it's like, no, you need to be able to see race and identify who people are and what their nationality is. So what he should have said, if he had any type of PR training, and I really think that WWE needs to get him out of that role of the post-fight press.
His ego will not let that happen.
I know, but the president of the company, Nick Khan, needs to be doing those things, because he would not have said something so stupid. Or you fucking just have Cody do it.
Yeah, put Cody up there. He's better at shit.
He really is better, but he should have said, "Hey, you know what? You know, thank you for bringing that up. It's a blind spot that we really need to get after. We didn't really see it until you guys mentioned it, but now that you guys have mentioned it, it's something that we're really going to work hard to make sure that we're more, diverse." And then to go on to say, you know, we have, look, we celebrate our diversity. We got champions of all races and genders and nationalities and this and that. And he go, we have different races all up and down the card. And he could have just said that. Instead, he said, I don't see color. It's like, dude, yes, you do. Don't be an idiot. That was a dumb thing to say. It makes you sound like you're racist. Mm-hmm. And you are an Iron Cross.
Well, when AEW had this problem with not a lot of black male talent being in the main event picture a few years back, they got taken to task.
And it was valid criticism, too.
It was valid criticism. We talked about it. They got taken to task for it. I don't think Triple H gets taken to task enough for it because there's so many grifters that are willing to just latch onto the WWE teeth because they're ballless, quite frankly. They have no spine. They just want to defend their childhood company. And it empowers a dumb person to continue to say dumb things. And this was a really dumb thing. Like, he's a completely uneducated fool. And he comes off like it every time he's given a chance to speak. But people love him because he had really long, slow, boring matches in the 2000s and did a lot of steroids.
And he did this when he got a promo.
I can't stand Triple H. Can't stand him.
Yeah. I didn't mean to send you home in a voice. Yeah, I didn't mean to send you home in a bad mood, JD. But I it was on my list of topics to get to, but we went a little bit long. So, all right, guys, that is going to do it for us this week. Thank you so much for being here. Make sure you're a subscriber. Hit the like button. Throw down a comment and subscribe. And then head to Patreon, patreon.com/TheMikeAndJDShow. I'll be back this coming up weekend with Brace for Impact. They didn't take the week off this week. They actually did an episode of Impact. Last week was a down week. So due to the hurricane, they had to move their show. So. I'll be recapping a fresh new episode, and we'll talk about the road to Bound for Glory. I have some updated stats for everybody, so come on back. All right, guys, and until next time, mahalo.
Competition starting to get thick. It's the click, so I hope you watch your A game. Amen. No rain from the track when we unite and spit. This isn't A game. Better bring your A game. Competition starting to get thick. It's the click, so I hope you watch your A game. Amen. No rain.
Do you like wrestling trivia? Then check out the 5-Star Match Game, the Pro Wrestling Quiz Show. I'm Joe Gagne, and every episode, I grill 3 contestants with 5 rounds of power-packed wrestling trivia. We have over 30 evergreen episodes in the archives covering WWE, AEW, Japan, Mexico, and much, 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 much more. Play along at home and check it out today.